an inspiring weight loss story.
I saw Arthur's video.
I made some bad choices about exercise.
With the knee braces, the back brace, the canes.
And I made some bad choices about eating.
And his belly was out to here.
And when I saw him trying to do this with crutches, I thought, okay, I can do this.
I started DDP yoga at 601 pounds. So I've lost 180 some odd pounds.
With DDP yoga, I dropped 185 pounds.
Lost over 92 pounds.
A year ago, I couldn't walk to my mailbox. And yesterday, I ran a 5K, and it's because of DDP yoga.
You gotta be kidding me!
I've lost 65 pounds. More importantly, man, I've got my life back. I have the ability to dream again.
57 years young. This is what DDP Yoga is all about. It helps you hold back the hands of time. It's DDP Radio.
Radio right here at ddpradio.com. My name is Michael Mullins. I'm here with the amazing and inspirational Stacey Morris. How you doing, Stacey?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. Robert is off tonight as he is soon to be on a plane on his way down to New Orleans. It is WrestleMania 30 weekend and a big weekend for DDP Yoga success stories. Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall as Razor Ramon are going to take their rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame. A big, big weekend for DDP Yoga right down there in the Big Easy. And also Dallas is going to be hosting a really cool workshop down there in New Orleans as well. DDPYoga.com for more info on that. And also Jake and Scott are going to be hosting a big Hall of Fame party down in New Orleans at the House of Blues on Friday, April 4th. So all kinds of big stuff going on in the DDP Yoga universe. What do you think, Stacey, about the big weekend DDP Yoga has down in New Orleans as Scott and Jake just kind of come full circle in their recovery, if you will?
I think it's going to be an amazing and probably a very moving time because these guys were both really down for the count for a while, and I think a lot of people might have counted them out of the game. And it'll be such a great way for DDP to celebrate his birthday on, I believe it's Saturday. I know it's April 5th, so what a birthday gift that'll be.
Absolutely. DDP's birthday is coming up. What is he going to be, 58 years young now? Is that his new gimmick?
58 years young. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, wow. And Jake and Scott completely transformed their lives. They got clean. They got sober. But a big thing that was a big aid to their recovery, which people don't realize, I mean, the sobriety is huge, but a lot of people don't realize the nutrition aspect that went into Jake and Scott's recovery. And Jake was not healthy, you know, with addictions, and Scott was not healthy with the alcoholism, but they also, you know, had lost their health nutrition-wise. And that is a big part of why we're here tonight, and we've got a great guest today. We've got Nancy Giuberti. She is a metabolic and functional medicine specialist, certified nutritionist, gluten-free, casein-free diet counselor, healthy lifestyle coach, and about 39 other specialties, which I can't even name. She's got so much going on, and we're going to be taking questions all night with Nancy. So if you have questions, give us a call in, 347-994-1216. And Nancy's been on the show before. You're probably really familiar with her at this point. And she's got all kinds of great information, so we're excited about that. And we're excited to welcome to the show Nancy Giuberti.
Hi there. Thanks for having me back.
Oh,
welcome back. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And I know we're going to probably get flooded with some questions, but I just wanted to have you start out by talking a little bit about how you counsel people. And most of us, or many of us at Team DDP Yoga, are largely, if not wholly, gluten and dairy free.
Mm-hmm.
And if for those who are new or just might want a little refresher of information, why do you advocate that for your clients?
So I'm a big fan of following a gluten-free, casein-free diet for a number of reasons. And the most important ones are those two proteins, gluten, which is the protein, and some people don't know, so I'll just go over it. It's the protein found in wheat, barley, rye, and sometimes oats. For a very sensitive person, oats can be a problem. You have to make sure it's gluten-free. And then casein is the protein found in our milk products, but then that also means if it's from an animal and we're having butter or ice cream from an animal, that will have casein, and cheese and whey can also be problematic. So those two proteins actually cause inflammation in our bodies. So following a non-inflammatory diet is always going to be a good idea, because at the root of all illness is usually inflammation. Besides that, we have seen a lot of gluten intolerance worldwide. And there's a difference between being intolerant and having celiac and also being highly allergic. So when we have an intolerance to a food, it's a silent killer. We don't know what's going on. We may just feel off, and we can't pinpoint it because we're eating so much food that have these two ingredients in them. Besides that, if a person cannot break down gluten or casein from the moment they take the food into their mouth all the way through the digestion process, which also means elimination, if they're having a problem with that, and it stops at the opiate-like peptides. So these are amino acids that casein and gluten break into. If they stay at that opiate-like peptide, then we have symptoms of mental fogginess. We can have also intestinal membranes that get inflamed, and that's where we're getting bloating, and that's when we're having acid reflux, and we could either have constipation or diarrhea. So something's going wrong in this whole digestive process. But lots of times people will say, I just don't feel clear after I've had that, or I get moody or angry. It's like anger management I have to deal with. And, you know, it's all because these are neuropeptides, and they affect our neurobehavioral processing. So it goes beyond just saying, oh, like the latest fad could be gluten-free. No, it goes beyond that. And there are great books to read. There's the Wheat Belly Diet book. There's also a book by Dr. Perlmutter, and he wrote a book called The Grain Brain, which actually goes into details of how the grains do cause, that have gluten, do cause this mental fogginess. So just from all of that scientific research, I advocate a gluten-free, casein-free diet. And then when we go into spring detoxification and simple do-it-yourself steps that you can do to detoxify during springtime, you'll notice that it is far from anything with gluten or casein in it. So I applaud anyone in this program who has gone gluten-free, casein-free, if you replace it then with real, whole, live food.
Nancy, that's interesting. Because most people, when they think of going gluten-free and stuff, they think of the gastro ramifications, but a lot of people don't realize the neurological and mental ramifications that come with the food they're eating. Why is this so secretive, and why is everyone focusing on the gastro and not really realizing that the reason that they're tired and run down and grumpy and, you know, foggy may be because of their diet as well?
You know, unfortunately, in the United States, our conventional medical system and healthcare is really tackling symptoms and not getting to the root cause. And the American Medical Association does not teach. It's not required to teach nutrition and how really food chemistry. So the physicians that one perhaps would go to cannot advise on that information. And you really have to look at one's schooling and background, and you really have to think like a food chemist. So how I like to describe myself is, you know, it's almost like I'm a medical detective. So it's beyond functional medicine and it's beyond nutrition. It's really finding out the lifestyle of one and then saying, okay, so let's see how they fit with not only what they're eating, but their stress level. How are they dealing with that stress level? And yoga is one of the best ways to deal with stress. I mean, get moving, but the whole concept behind this exercise regimen really helps with meditation and stress as well, because you have to really clear your mind to be able to do poses and all that. So we have to look at the whole person, what's going on in their environment. We have to look at the mental health. We have to look at their energy level, their digestion, all of that, not just say, hey, we're going to do this diet just for the gastrointestinal benefits. So in exercise, we understand our core as being our stomach, but our core is also, our stomach is also the core of our health. And in our stomach, on the GI tract, we have our immune system. About 80% of it is located there, but also our adrenal system and our neurotransmitters. So like if someone's going on an interview and they get butterflies and they have, or you meet someone and you get this gut feeling, wow, they're just not good or they are good, it's because our stomach is so related. There's a connection to the brain. So therefore, then that also explains the science and the research that was done that shows these neuropeptides. So if we can't break down a food and it gets stuck in that neuropeptide, it's going to affect our neurological processing and mood as well.
Well, speaking from my own experience, I know, you know, and I'm pear-shaped. I've always had a pretty small waist relative to the lower half of me. But when I was eating gluten, I took my measurements, and I was 48 inches, my waist. So that just, and now it's 28. So I'm 20 inches off my waist. And that's not all fat. That's, I think, that had to be a lot of inflammation, just a lot of, I don't know, just junk going on in my intestine. Does that sound right?
Yeah, 100%. So, like, there is something that individuals call the leaky gut. So if you have inflammation and then your GI tract isn't as healthy as it should be, so we should have good bacteria, and we should have like 80 to 85% good bacteria, and the rest could be the bad bacteria. For most Americans, especially eating our type of diet, they're the American diet that is gluten, is casein and sugar and artificial ingredients, usually we have maybe 10 to 15% good bacteria. So now that's going to cause a candida overgrowth. That's going to give us swelling. On top of that, these foods cause inflammation, you know, so it's a big problem. And then once you remove it and you start to see the inches go away, you also want to remember that gluten is simple carbohydrates. It's going to turn into sugar as well. So you're actually detoxifying when you go on a gluten-free, casein-free diet. And that in itself, for anyone who's not doing it, any newcomer listening, just following the diet is a form of detoxification. You know, and there's that documentary called Supersize Me, which explains how the food so affects not only physically but mentally and emotionally. You know, so like springtime, we all think, oh, well, this is a great time to, you know, clean out your closets and clean out the house and think of like home improvements. So I always like to say, well, spring is a great time for detoxification of the home improvement of our body, because that's our, you know, physical home. So we may have gained weight over the winter or just not getting a lot of sunshine, and then you're going to parties, perhaps having alcoholic beverages, and then just the stress of the holidays and the new year, and then that all that toxicity builds up. So while the change in seasons and the change in weather, this is a perfect time to cleanse the body. And by doing that, we want to nourish the liver, the skin. So the liver and the kidneys are detoxification organs. The skin is our largest organ for absorption and elimination, but our GI tract as well. And then while we detoxify the body, we really can get a clearer mind.
You brought up a great point about how just eating gluten and dairy-free can be in it of itself a detox. And I know in that detox process, it can be a little bit taxing on things like the liver. What are some things that can be either maybe eaten or maybe teas, supplements that'll help the liver along? Because the liver really does a ton of work for us, and even more so when we're detoxing.
Exactly. And if we're detoxing as well as trying to lose weight, we need to be kind to the liver. So the liver does its job every day. And if it has toxins and it gets overburdened, it can't take it. And, you know, there's a whole thing about like the fat flush diet. Well, basically what that concept was be kind to the liver, and that's going to jumpstart your weight loss. So I would say that one of the first things to do is when it's so easy, but I see so many people in my practice that don't do this, and they're totally dehydrated. So the number one thing would be to drink water, pure, clean, filtered water. We should have about 7 glasses at least a day, because the human body is made up about 70% water, and then when we perspire, we need to replace that with water. Many times people are drinking these sugar-laden beverages, all those fancy coffee drinks, lattes, this, that, and everything else that really dehydrate one's body. Alcoholic beverages dehydrate, fruit juice, all those fancy drinks, where if you can just say, how much water am I drinking a day? And then just try to double that slowly. And I love to start the day with a half of a squeezed lemon, and it would be great if you could throw in a splash of Bragg's apple cider vinegar into 8 ounces of water and drink that first thing in the morning. So that's going to actually activate the liver, and it's going to help with the detoxification. And it would be great to do that and wait about 20 minutes before one eats. You could still drink after that drink. And if you could get into a regimen of doing that every day, that's going to help. So that's a simple thing. Drinking water, squeeze a half a lemon, throw in a splash of the Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and then drinking teas like you mentioned. So one of my favorite brands is this Yogi Tea, and they have something called Detox, and it's organic. So it actually supports the healthy liver and kidney functioning while it helps you detoxify. So if water is not your thing and you have to slowly increase that, well, then you could go for this herbal tea. You could go for adding some lemon water. You can also, I like, there's unsweetened cranberry juice. So when you hear the word juice, you may think sweet, but cranberries, if you were to have them plain, they are tart. There's nothing sweet about it. So if you get like Lakewood makes an organic unsweetened cranberry juice, if you use 1 ounce of that to about 10 ounces of water, and you could put lemon in there as well, there's nothing sweet about it. So you could then take some organic stevia, like a 1 teaspoon, and then just, you know, blend that all together. That's also going to help detoxify your body from bacteria. It's going to help with the liver and the kidneys. So here's a few, like, different options that we could add more detoxifying liquids in our body. And then another thing would be green leafy vegetables. You could juice them. And that's another way where you can So that is a great detoxification. You know, most people think we should be having 5 fruits and vegetables a day, but it really should be 7, and we should really lean heavy on the vegetables, and the fruit should really be our treats. So if you were to juice, what I like to juice, again, because there's a science behind it, would be for detoxification. You could do a combination of watercress. Dandelion is great for detoxification. You have your kale, cilantro, parsley. So both of those are great to help you detoxify, and it's because they have chlorophyll. And chlorophyll helps remove toxins, environmental toxins, pesticides, herbicides, as well as heavy metals. And while we remove them and pull them out, that's going to also help our liver.
Well, we have a bunch of callers lined up. We got about 6 people on the line right now. So we're going to throw some questions to Nancy. If you guys want to call in, 347-994-1216. Nancy, you ready to take some callers?
Sure.
All right, we have a call on hold from the 203 area code. You are unmuted. Hello? Hello, 203. You there? Nobody? All right, well, we must have lost them. All right, I'm going to go to another caller from the 615 area code. Hello, 615 area code. All right, well, you're going to have to bear with me because I'm new at this, and I'm unmuted.
This is Mike's first night going solo. He's doing great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. 615, hello. All right, well, I'm going to try to figure this out, so maybe Stacy can go.
I have a few more tips I could discuss.
Absolutely,
Nancy. And speaking of juicing, I know – You do say juicing is great, but you're not necessarily a fan of the juice fast, where you go on
so
for days.
If I would say for, you know, these are some things we, you know, the water and the teas and the green leafy vegetable juice would be some things I would advocate for and promote. What I would not recommend for detoxification are these invasive fasting cleanses. Many people start it and they're just like the yo-yo dieting. So it's if it's unrealistic to continue and you get halfway there and you're like, I need to eat. I can't juice for how many days or do that master cleanse. And I'm like putting my body into starvation and then my metabolism is going to slow. Actually, those could actually backfire on you. So I would instead recommend following a gentle detoxification that incorporates areas of your current lifestyle that you could then transform into a healthier lifestyle, as opposed to saying, all right, I'm going to do this for 2 days. My goal is to detoxify and lose this much weight, and then I'll go into a normal regimen. That's harder on the body, and many times it really comes back to hurt you in the end if it's going to slow down metabolism. And that's why I don't promote skipping meals, because that also can backfire. When it negatively affects your metabolism and weight loss as well as detoxification. So you don't want to skip meals because it affects your blood sugar. It drops dramatically. You feel sluggish, and then it wreaks havoc on your insulin. So, again, you want to incorporate the healthy meals like the green leafy vegetables. Another thing that I would recommend is to know, when am I going to start this detox regimen? I don't want to do it around a stressful event. I don't want to do it when I'm not going to have time to prepare. I need to go shopping. I need to cook, you know, and all of this can be stressful if it's not planned out. And then you also would want to give up, like evaluate your current eating habits. If you're eating processed foods, if you're going to unhealthy fast food places, then what you want to do is eat more whole foods. And again, whole foods are your green vegetables. It's going to be incorporating, if you're vegan, you want to go for proteins that are appropriate for your vegan diet. If you are eating animal protein, then you want to go for grass-fed, grass-finished. You want to go for organic or free-range. You don't want any animal that's getting antibiotics and growth hormones because that's toxic. So it's, you know, you don't want to be trying to pull toxins out but eat toxins in. So instead, like, you could go for chia seeds, which is very filling and also helps you detoxify, and sunflower seeds. And of course, I would recommend the gluten-free, casein-free diet as well.
Can there be any adverse effects, you know, when you go into full-blown detoxing? And that can take weeks and months, but... you know, can you feel sluggish? Can you feel moody? What are some things people might want to look out for?
And that's a great question. So, yes, you can have die-off. You can go through withdrawal. So if you're eating gluten and casein and you're having a lot of sugar and you're eating processed foods and you are eating fast foods, you know, so say you're on that type of diet plan, you want to approach the detoxification slowly. So you might want to say, okay, for the next, you know, 4 days, my focus is going to be adding more water as opposed to drinking this diet soda or this regular soda. Just from that, you're going to, you may feel detoxification side effects such as headaches or fatigue or aches and pains. It really depends how unhealthy your current eating regimen is. So then the cravings, you know, when you start to detoxify and you're going strong on this detoxification, the cravings at the beginning, again, lots of foods are addictive, like sugar, and lots of grains are addictive, especially if one has candida overgrowth. So, you know, these addictions are going to pull at you and say, oh, I really want that. And if you can stay strong and, you know, just every single time you get this feeling that you want that food, replace it immediately. That's why you have to go shopping. You have to surround yourself with the healthy food options because the cravings will actually diminish once you get past a certain stage of detoxification. But you, again, it's all about preparation and it's all about, you know, cooking perhaps over the weekend so you don't have to grab something at a fast food. If you are going for a fast food, it really depends where you live. So now in Connecticut and you know, in the East Coast, they're coming out with, you know, health food places that are organic. There's a place called Bare Burger, and it's B-A-R-E Burger, and there's a chain of them. And then there's like this, so they're all organic, and they're grass-fed, grass-finished, so that's great. Kudos to them. And then there is something called Elevation Burger, where they'll have organic burgers, but then if you, you know, and some places have gluten-free and some places don't, so you could always get the burger wrapped in lettuce. They call it a lettuce-wrapped burger. But they might not, the lettuce might not be organic. So this is where we also have to be, you know, buyer beware, and we have to ask. And just because they say this is a healthier place, well, what does that mean? And so you don't want to go to the fast food places that have MSG, monosodium glutamate, because that also plays on your mind, besides the fact causing inflammation and really bad degenerative diseases are linked to it. But you want to stay away from the nitrates and the artificial colors and flavorings because they're all addictive. So MSG, monosodium glutamate, very addictive. It's in Doritos. No one could open a bag of Doritos and take one chip and then say, okay, I'm good, I'm done. Because now it's already hit your taste buds and that flavoring forces you to keep consuming it. So this is where reading labels during a detoxification starts the awareness process. What am I putting myself into? And I've mentioned this on the show before. This is where I go back to mindful eating. You know, I always ask myself, and I always recommend to everyone I meet, before you eat, ask yourself, what is this going to do for me? Is it going to nourish me? Is it going to nourish my skin, my hair? Is it going to give me energy? Or is it going to all my problem spots? And is it going to make me feel like garbage afterwards? Is it going to make me feel sluggish? Am I going to be, you know, mentally foggy? If you can develop a healthy relationship with the food, or at least know what the cause and effect is of your food, that is also half the battle.
Yeah, and it's so true that it's really important to take things in stages, because we all would love to have these wonderful, flawless eating habits in place. But I know from my experience coming off a really major way of junk food eating for most of my life, I look back at how I made these changes, and it was literally an evolution. It was like a flower growing, you know. I mean, the flower doesn't just come to full bloom the second after you plant it. There are stages. And I just couldn't have done all the changes at once. So, you know, starting with like better liquid intake, that is a perfect place to start.
I think we might have the callers ready to go. I think I might have figured out what the problem was on my end.
Yay. All right.
The technical aspect of this show. So we have Liz calling. I think she has a question for Nancy. I'm going to unmute her. Liz, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, Stacey. hi, Nancy. I've listened to you a lot on this show, but I haven't actually spoken to you. A lot of your advice from just the recent bit applies to me. My thing is that I'm an overeater. I eat very well. Like, I'm gluten-free, I'm dairy-free, I'm vegan. You know, I eat clean, but I have that relationship with food, and this might come to the mindfulness. Where, you know, if I bring home a pack of gluten-free cookies, I don't eat two and then go about my day and then come back to them the next day. They're gone. And, like, I know all the advice. And, like, if I'm lying in bed in the morning, I'll be like, okay, today we're not going to do that. And then it's like that part of my brain that holds that information, when I'm at the store or if I'm, you know, nibbling on a few gluten-free cookies on my way home from the store, it just shuts out.
Okay.
And so, like, yeah.
So what comes to mind is that there's a few things. When we have this, it could, so again, let's get to the root cause, right? So is the root cause of this that your body, so you know in your mind, but is something going on internally in your body, in your GI tract, that is overruling whatever thought you had of good intention in the morning? Once you see the food, you smell it, or you even eat it. And that could be because one has candida overgrowth. That could be because you have too low of your good bacteria. You always, you know, want to check that. You would want to check the health of your GI tract, because if you had candida overgrowth, or if you didn't have enough good bacteria, that's going to overrule any good intentions. That's one aspect. The other thing is, if you've checked that and you don't feel it is that, then there are, you know, certain techniques that one could do. There's that EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, that people do have success with that. Another thing would be, you just can't buy anything, even if it's gluten-free. So just because it's gluten-free does not necessarily mean that it's healthy. So I would also want you to track how much sugar intake are you having, and say, okay, if I can't keep my sugar at 22 grams or less a day, then I can't bring anything in that's going to get me over that. So I would say, as a combination of things to check. And then the other thing would also be, if one is low in digestive enzymes, then one never gets the message from the stomach to the brain to say you're full. But I am So that's what I would check. I don't know if you have a bloated stomach, if you look at yourself sideways, if you have, you know, if it's flat or if it's extended. But these are things that you would want to look at and then also see how you feel after that. Because if you're having too much sugar and too many grains, even gluten-free, that can make you very sluggish. And then it's a vicious cycle that you can't break.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I would check it because it doesn't get balanced on its own.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about checking that? Just like, do you go to a doctor or?
You would definitely want to run. I highly recommend an organic acid test, and I would recommend it for, quite frankly, everybody. You know, who's ever alive should get that test done on at least an annual basis, because it's going to show you your GI health. It's going to show you if you have candida or bacteria. It's going to show you about your adrenal system, your neurotransmitters, your dopamine, your serotonin, your norepinephrine, your excitotoxins. And then it's going to show also your nutritional markers. I mean, this is a great base for you to get over 74 markers of how your body is functioning. And that's why they call it a functional medicine test. There's other ways you could check candida through stool and blood test as well.
Okay.
I did this test last year, Nancy, and it was a huge eye-opener. And also, this is a perfect segue into mentioning that, Nancy, you work with people long distance. You and I have never met, and I've gotten a tremendous amount of insight into my body and my nutritional path through you. So you can contact Nancy through nancygubberti.com, and she's also on Twitter. But I don't recommend that test. I'm going to be retaking it. A year anniversary is coming up.
Yeah, it's a great. It gives you insight into your body that nothing else provides. It's really a phenomenal test. It's actually the test that helped me with my son's health, get him back to health. Over like 15 years ago. So I am very passionate about that test and the lab that does it, and just functional medicine, because again, yeah, functional medicine goes to the root cause.
Right. This is something my doctor never suggested. Just FYI, I don't think most doctors do.
Yeah, they don't even know about it, Stacey. It's so sad, you know, because so many people could know earlier and get better help, and that's what's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Forget check out
Absolutely.
Nancy. NancyGubberti.com. She's also on Twitter, twitter.com/NancyGubberti. That's NancyGubberti. She's a wealth of information on all kinds of stuff like that. Sorry about the technical difficulties tonight, but are you up for a few more questions?
Oh, sure.
All right. We've got Dawn on hold. We're going to unmute Dawn right here. Dawn, hello.
Hi, guys. Hi, Nancy. Nice
hey,
to talk to you again.
Hey,
Stacey. I got a question for you concerning supplements and vitamins.
Okay.
Because just like Stacey, it's been a process for me over the last 18 months where I baby stepped into the food and cleaning my diet up and everything else and taking my multivitamins and supplements, and then come to find out my multivitamin had all the extra crap in it. The one a day is really not... It's one of the crap as far as I'm concerned at this point.
Well, you know, that brings up a really good topic because, you know, there are supplements and then there are quality supplements. And so, and that's, again, all of this frustrates me because unless you're reading labels and unless you're, you know, calling companies and saying, hey, where is this derived from? What do you get your vitamin C from? No one would ever know because we are so trusting that to think, hey, if it passed and it's got this label on it, it's got to be good stuff. And it goes even to prenatal vitamins that most doctors prescribe that you would pick up at the pharmacy have artificial ingredients that are known carcinogenics, and that's going into a woman who's pregnant. So, like, it goes, it's beyond comprehension. So one-a-days, you know, can be very problematic for several reasons. One, they, if you look at, like, okay, so say you're B6, for instance, they could have, like, perhaps 2 milligrams of B6. I mean, what is that? You know, if a person needs 50 milligrams, that one a day of 2 milligrams is really not doing much, one. The second thing is you want to see what color is it. So right away, if it's yellow, blue, whatever color, that's probably going to be artificial ingredients. But then you have to look at these words like maltodextrin. Okay, so what is maltodextrin? And what's dextrose? And what are all these different names? And then you come to find out they could actually be genetically modified rice or genetically modified corn. And now you're getting all this added garbage. And here you think you were doing the right thing. And then the thing that drives me the craziest is vitamin C, where most of it is from corn. And if you look at the label, it says does not contain corn. But the way the regulations are is it could say does not contain corn as long as it doesn't contain the corn protein. But it can be derived from corn. And it really makes no sense. So for anyone who's taking supplements, go look at your supplement label. Read it. If there's anything artificial, you don't want that, number one. If you don't know where something is derived from, there's an 800 number on most of these labels you could call. So, like, I don't personally sell supplements. I just recommend different brands, and it's brands that I've called. And so my youngest son had a liver issue, so I had to make sure where everything was coming from. I had to make sure nothing was genetically modified. You know, there was no corn and all these soy, any other product. So I called and I asked to speak to the doctors on staff, and I asked to see their research. You know, so you really have to take it to such a level. And I would promote everyone to become their own best health advocate, because no one's out there that's doing this, and it's really important.
Now, Nancy, there's a lot of information that, you know, a lot of people, like, who just joined DDP Yoga or just started the gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, healthy lifestyles, you know, listening to the show, it's easy to get overwhelmed by all this wealth of information that's coming to them. For people that aren't seasoned, like that haven't been around for a while, if you were going to give a quick, it sounds cliche, but pitch to why you should, you know, take these steps in your life and what are the first steps you should take instead of being by everything at once, if you were to, you know, give someone walk into your office right now, what's the first step someone should take in taking control of their life?
So the first thing is remember that your health is worth it because you are worth it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, let's do one step at a time. Rome wasn't built in a day. Let's, you know, you take one foot in front of the other, just like the exercise. Look at the success stories. Who couldn't walk? Who couldn't move? So let's take our eating the same way you're approaching this exercise program. One step will lead to a great success story. So first, know you're worth it. Because if we don't have self-worth and self-confidence, that's going to say, oh, I could start tomorrow. Or you go, you know what, I could eat that. Or I could have those 2 cookies. No, you're important. Now, what can we do? Drink water. That should be my first goal. And I don't care, again, like I mentioned before, I don't care if it takes 4 days or 1 week. You break it down by week, right? So the first week we drink our water. The second week we could say, let me see what I'm eating for breakfast. And what can I eat instead? So then that could be 1 week. The next week could be lunch. The next week could be dinner. Then we could say, how many green leafy vegetables am I eating? If 7 is my goal, and I know I can't eat 7, well, if I juice, I could get 4 in that juice. And, you know, what I would recommend is if you're juicing 4 vegetables, throw in one apple or one pear at the end to sweeten it. You don't need anything else. And throw in a lemon because that's great, too, for detoxification. So that could be the next week. Now we're out like 4 or 5 weeks, right? You're going to see changes. And then you could do the gluten 1 week. And then you could add in the casein another week. And then sugar could be your last thing if it's the hardest. So put a plan together. Once you write something down, they say when you write your goals down, you have a higher percentage of actually reaching them. But if you just go at this haphazardly, it's not going to work. And then if you need help, get help. Find someone that's going to guide you. I put out tweets every day. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter and you follow me, you'll see all of this. I mean, after a while, you start reading like, oh, cilantro's good for you. Oh, artichokes are this and this and that and all these different things. You become aware and it gets into your mind and you say, wow, okay, let me try that. Why not? And then I'm also on Pinterest. I have a gluten-free, casein-free board that, you know, I take pictures of the products that I recommend, foods that I've cooked. Stacey's got a great blog, and, you know, whenever I look at the stuff that she posts on Facebook, she gets me so hungry, and the foods look amazing. So you have to really be empowered with the knowledge. So one step at a time, and then just keep going.
Absolutely. I think the biggest sale factor for gluten-free is actually going out and doing it and feeling how good you feel afterwards and noticing the difference that you didn't notice before. I don't think people necessarily notice, like, how much they don't feel well when they're, you know, eating the way they do until they get off of it and realize how good they actually do feel. So when anyone asked me, what do I do? I said, just do it. 2 weeks. And tell me how you feel and tell me that you want to go back.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, that's what we call elimination diets. So you want to eliminate for at least 2 weeks. And I'll tell you, if you have a problem breaking down gluten or casein for that matter, and it turns into those neuropeptides, you will see a change. Now, it would be great if you could commit to a month, but at least 2 weeks. And then you also have to make sure that you're not getting it from anywhere else. You know, so lots of times people don't realize, oh, that meant I was eating wheat, you know, that's wheat. I didn't know that, you know, in that product. So that's why you want to read your labels. I mean, yeah, all of this can be overwhelming. So that's why you want to just say, what am I going to tackle this week? And it really depends on, you know, what's the person, I would say, most addicted to. So when you really have cravings for a particular food, your body's very addicted to that one. So for some people, it could be casein. For some people, it could be gluten. And I would go after that one first. Like, you wouldn't want to do that plus all these other things. It's too much.
Absolutely. And that's great advice, too. And we have a couple more callers. We want to get these guys in before the show ends at 10. So we have Travis on the line. I'm going to unmute Travis here. Travis, how you doing, man?
Hey, great. How's everyone tonight?
Hey, Travis. Hey,
man. How are you?
Oh, just it's keeping it rocking. Just got back from the dojo, getting ready for our judo tournament on Sunday. So just
awesome. Travis is a regular here at DDP Radio. Do you have a question for Nancy? Anything you're looking to
yeah.
yourself on in the healthy department?
Well, here's my question here. So, you know, Nancy, you talk about, you know, detoxifications and juicing and things. That is there any specific combinations of vegetables that are optimal for juice cleanse? Like, for example, I see, you know, somewhere out there where beet juicing is really good for detoxification, or, you know, having a lot of celery in your juicing is good. Is there a specific recipe that you recommend?
Yeah, so I for beet juice, that could be a little problematic for many people who have problems with their stomach acid. So if you go on a beet juice diet, just check your urine flow, and if it's pink, then you don't want to do the beet juice diet because it's showing that your body can't handle that and break it down. So that's a great question. Celery is great for kidneys. So if you – I personally like the combination of dandelion, which is great detoxification for the filtering organs of your liver and your kidney. I like to throw in parsley because that, especially if one is having a lot of sodium in their food, that helps get rid of inflammation. It also is very high in calcium. And then with that, if you put cilantro, that really helps remove the heavy metals. And then kale. And then either an apple or a pear, and you could put in lemon. So if you juice all of that, that's an amazing detoxification drink, all in one.
And funny enough, that's, you know, while I was on hold and whatnot, that's exactly what I've been doing is I've been juicing kale and lemon and carrots and celery and and I've been putting ginger in there too. Do you have any ginger into your stuff? Or?
Ginger is really good. Ginger is fantastic for detoxification as well, and it's great for your stomach lining. So that helps with inflammation. And if you like the way it tastes, 100%. Seaweed is another one. You know, you could get seaweed salads. That's really good. But that juice that you do is perfect.
Okay.
Nancy, could you repeat the vegetables that have lots of chlorophyll? Because you said they're very cleansing.
Yes. So chlorophyll is cleansing because it removes all toxins. It binds to them. And watercress, dandelion, cilantro, parsley. And then, let's see, seaweed is great. And then artichokes, believe it or not, are really good to purify the liver because it increases bile production. Broccoli sprouts stimulate detoxification enzymes in the GI tract, so that's another one that's good.
Okay, thank you.
Spinach one too.
Juicing is one of the healthiest things you can do. There's some detractors for it as well, but anybody you talk to who actually goes through a juicing fast just notice or just starts juicing in general notices a huge effect. Physically and mentally. Is that right, Nancy?
Yeah, you know, the green leafy vegetables also have a lot of fiber, so one can increase one's bowel movements, and you're going to detoxify that way as well. So, but you also get energy. I mean, if you think about the animals that graze in the field, if they're being raised the way nature intended, they're eating greens. And, you know, you can also be very healthy and muscular by following this protocol. It's really great for you. It detoxifies, but it also gives energy. And it's great for your skin, and that's your largest organ for absorption and detoxification as well.
Awesome. Thanks for your call, Travis. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, cool. No problem, man.
Thanks for calling.
We're going to try to get him on before the show ends. This is Don calling, and I'm going to unmute Don. Don, hello, BDP Radio. Hello, Don.
I already asked my question, Mike.
Oh, did you? Okay. Never mind.
But I have one other one I forgot to ask while I was online.
Okay.
Nancy, what are your thoughts about bee pollen and adding to your diet?
You know, so this is my thoughts would be if one could handle it, then that's great. But everything is very individualized as well. So if you can handle it, it's going to be good. But if one has a problem with anything, you know, from bees, then I would stay away from it. It is considered a superfood, so it does have an array of benefits. And again, it all depends if one can handle it. So if you feel good, I would say with any supplement, if you feel good from it, then that's great. It's very rich in proteins, and, you know, it contains more amino acids than eggs and beef and cheese. It's supposed to give you energy and be good for the skin and the respiratory, and it's supposed to treat allergies. I mean, it goes on with the immune system and cardiovascular and all that. You just want to, again, make sure you're okay with it.
Thanks,
okay,
Tom.
Great. Thanks.
I appreciate it. And sorry to call to get back to you again. We do have one more caller. It was Mark what I was meant to say, but actually clicked on Dawn. Sorry, I am new at this. I've never done the technical aspect of this show before, so it's a little shaky, so I apologize. But we have Mark on the line. Mark, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Mark. Question for Nancy.
Yes, how you doing, guys? Hi, Nancy. Just two quick questions. One is, since I started DDP in January, before that I was just a regular cheese fanatic, all kinds of cheese, every kind of cheese, I ate it. Since then, what I'm doing, though, is I stopped cow dairy, and I'm eating sheep's cheese and goat's cheese in my salads and kind of doing a little cooking with, like, Pecorino Romano and stuff like that. Is that still a good thing, or is that kind of a bad thing, too, seeing it's another type of dairy?
Well, how did you feel when you initially removed the dairy? Did you feel a positive?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that because I removed gluten and dairy, and I guess I really haven't felt much of a change in anything when it comes to those two things.
Okay, so then I would say I would prefer for you, or I would recommend that you were to remove it 100% because you haven't felt anything positive yet, mm-hmm. perhaps, but mm-hmm. it's still in your system. So it's, you know, kudos to you that you have reduced it a lot. Mm-hmm. There, on my Pinterest page, there's a company called Daya. It's D-A-I-Y-A. Mm-hmm. And it's a play on dairy. And they make anything from cream cheese to shredded cheese to mm-hmm. slices. And it ranges from mozzarella to cheddar to Jack's to all these different ones. And then there's another company that I tweeted about the other day that makes amazing cheese. So that cheese, the Daya cheese, is from tapioca and pea protein, and it tastes really good. But there's okay. another one that makes it from, if you don't have any allergies to cashews, they make different cheeses, and they made it's called treelinecheese.com. If you go on there, they have cracked pepper hard cheese, garlic soft French style, classic hard cheese, and, you know, all different ones. And that tastes really good, too. So I would want to see if you put these substitutes in, if that satisfied your taste buds, and then see what positive benefit you got from that. Because, you know, from one cheese to another, all those cheeses you mentioned still have casein in it, and casein does cause inflammation.
Okay, that leads me to my next question, as quick as I can. Probiotics. I have developed for the second time in my life terrible, terrible stomach issues with bloating, distended abdomen. It comes out of nowhere. The first time I got it was 2 years ago. Went through every GI doctor in Massachusetts, all over the Mass General. Nobody found a problem with me and tested for everything. This happened to me again, unfortunately, right when I started DDP. A friend of mine's doctor, who my friend also had some similar issues, and their doctor had him try a probiotic called VSL3.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent a message to my primary doctor, and I told him I was going to start trying it, and so I bought it, and I started trying it, and it really did help me. It really has been helping me. I've been taking it for about a month and a half now. My question is, it's a lot more cultures than the probiotics I tried off the shelf from the store, which did nothing for me. I just wanted to know if you had an opinion on VSL3.
Well, first, the ones that you got from the store, if they were not, you know, half of those ones in the store, they're dead bacteria, especially the ones that aren't refrigerated. So it's, again, goes back to it's not quality. It really, again, so... Again, I would have loved to find out the root cause, like why you have it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to. I have another back to the doctors. It's just not my appointment yet.
What I would want to know is what labs were they using? Were they just using the run-of-the-mill labs like Quest or LabCo, or were they using specialized labs? And then, you know, for the GI issues you're talking about, I'm hoping they did like a two-day stool test because, you know, we want to see what's going on, and that's the best way to determine when you have that. You know, did they do that for you?
Yeah, well, the first time they did it, yeah, they did every test. They tested me for everything they could think of anyways.
They tested for IBD and IBS?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they did. And that's kind of – and I never really got a diagnosis, but they kind of left it around like some type of IBS. But, I mean, the probiotic I'm taking – the VSL-3 is 450 billion cultures. And I'm taking in one packet, so I'm taking one in the morning and one at night, and it's helping me tremendously.
My only concern is that the inactive ingredients for that is just check, because they have different versions. And so if it's regular, is it regular flavored, or, you know, because some of the...
Yes, it is regular flavored.
All right, so that one, the inactive ingredients is malta, you know, I don't like the inactive ingredients. So, like, there's a lemon flavoring. So right there you'd have to call the company and say, well, what is it? It has malt in it, which is a sugar. It does have a strand of streptococcus. So for anyone
really?
Who is vulnerable to strep, this is not something I personally would recommend. It has 3 strands of bifidus, which is good, and 4 strands of lactobacillus. I don't know if you've ever taken a probiotic before, but instead I would like to see you on just bifidus and lactobacillus. It doesn't bother me of the how much, quite frankly, the higher the better in your case, but I don't like the inactive ingredients, and I don't like the fact that it has the strep there.
That's good to know. Is there one that you do recommend on your Pinterest or anything?
You know what you could do is send me an email, and I could send you that information, because I don't particularly like these other things going on in here. And if you've been on it for a month and it hasn't done the trick, you would also want to ask for specialized testing, because if they're just sending it to Quest, and they could be the best GI doctors. I mean, my Connecticut office, we're, you know, downstairs, they have one of the best supposedly GI doctors, and the guy couldn't even find parasites in half of my patients with their regular conventional lab. So if you send me an email at just nancy@nancygaberti.com, I could at least give you the information and see if your doctor could run these really specialized laboratories, you know, instead of the run-of-the-mill, because you could go for years and not find
it. It has been. I'm going on my third year, and this is the second attack, and the first attack lasted probably 7 to 8 months, and, you know, I lost about 30 pounds just from not being able to eat.
And then just so you, I would highly recommend knowing your just this part of your history, I would highly recommend going 100% on casein-free diet because you don't need any more inflammation. So, like, if I were to give you your, like, what you should work on right away is get rid of the casein. I don't know if you're 100% gluten, but you should be. And then you should really count all of your sugar grams on a daily basis and add it all up and see what you get to, and you want to keep it at 22 grams or less for this case because you could be feeding candida. And so the inactive ingredients in that probiotic you're taking would feed candida, and so now it's like it's defeating the purpose. So you want to
check. All right, I will definitely I will send you that email on your website. I'll definitely do that. And I really appreciate your advice and time.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
And we are out of time. I just want to thank one more time Nancy Ghiberti. She was amazing. She has a wealth of information on the subject. And if you want more on her, go to nancyghiberti.com. That's NancyGhiberti.com. Also on Twitter.com/NancyGhiberti. Facebook.com/NancyGhiberti. Thank you so much, Nancy. Any last words for us or Stacy?
Well, thank you for having me. I hope we've empowered and not overwhelmed people with knowledge to be their best health advocate. And like I always say, your health is so worth it because you are worth it. And thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
We love having you, Nancy. And you're right, your health is worth it. It's a time and money investment, but you know what? It's worth everything. So, and there is a lot of great information on the show tonight, so please listen to the podcast. I think I'm going to have to because it's just a lot of great info. And digest it, no pun intended, at your own pace.
I apologize for the technical aspects on my end. I'm a little fresh at this part of the show. So next time it will be better. It's live. It's not perfect. But until then, thank you so much to Nancy. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week right here at DDP Radio. Until next time, own your day, own your health, own your life. As Nancy said, you are worth it. See you guys.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a Talk Radio.